Thank you, Pastor Zach. In addition to our text this morning of Psalm 103, and if you'd like to turn there again, we're going to be looking at several psalms around or surrounding that chapter. But I would also like to include two more verses in our theme or our text this morning, and that would be one verse from Psalm 100, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." You know, as we look at the Bible and read the scripture, we've been talking a lot about the fact that we need to ask, what is the Bible saying to me? One of the things that I look for when I'm reading my Bible, whether it's for my personal devotions or just relaxed reading or studying for a message or anything, whenever I open my Bible, I look for a command that needs to be obeyed. The Bible is full of commands, things that God says you should do. And those are commands, and we're going to be talking about the command to give thanks today. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When you come into the presence of God Almighty, we should come with thankful hearts. We should stop before we enter there, and we should think about who God is. We should think about his holiness, his majesty, his honor and glory. We should think about the great salvation that he has provided for each one of us. We should think about his righteousness. And when we come into his presence, entering into his gates, figuratively, spiritually, it should be with thanksgiving for who God is, for what God has done, for what God is doing, for what God is going to continue to do. We should enter into his courts. The court is the outer yard around the castle, the place where people can mill around and associate social life and fellowship with one another and talk about how great the kingdom is and talk about who God is and what God has done. When we're there, it should be a time of praise. Enter into his courts with praise. What are we going to be doing for eternity? We're going to be praising the Lord. Some people say, oh, that's going to be so boring. Not when we get a glimpse of who of Jesus Christ in all of his glory, and we begin to learn for the first time who God really is. It'll take eternity, and that never ends. But we will be praising him. We will be thankful unto him, just like the Bible commands us now to do. We will be blessing his name. Paul said it so well in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. You know, that's one of the hardest things we need to learn in this life, because not everything is to be thankful for. We are to give thanks for everything because God is working good in every situation. We may not understand how or what exactly he's doing, but in the midst of trials, when we're going through hardships, when we're in a time of dark valley, when we are lonely and it seems like we're the only ones, that there's no one else who cares. Truly, there is no one else who cares for me like Jesus. We should give thanks that he does care, that God is there, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so truly, in everything, even the trials which are allowed to come into our lives to teach us patience, which is a good thing. We need, all of us, we need patience. Patience just to deal with life's trials and life's twists and turns in the road that we travel. In everything, give thanks. Why? Paul says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are in Christ Jesus. Positionally, we are seated in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And as the children of God, as subjects of the kingdom of heaven, we are to be thankful. Command. Samuel Logan Bringle, way back in the 18th century, said, "As lilies of the valley pour forth perfume, so good hearts pour forth thanksgiving. No mercy is too small to provoke it, no trial too severe to restrain it. As Samson got honey from the carcass of the lion he slew, and as Moses got water from the flinty rock, so the pure in heart are possessed of a sort of heavenly alchemy, a divine secret by which they get blessing out of all things, and for which there is the giving of thanks." Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. Psalms is the book of praise and thanksgiving. The word Psalms comes from the Hebrew word Hallel, specifically Psalm 90, about Psalm 90, 95 to Psalm 118 are called the Hallel Psalms, the praise Psalms. They are focused on the Lord, praising the Lord. The Hallelujah Psalms, they are saying, praise the Lord. That's what the word Hallelujah means. And the word Hallelujah cuts across the language barriers of the world. It doesn't matter what language you're speaking, Hallelujah means praise the Lord in every language. And it's translated in every language, Hallelujah. And so we are to give Hallelujah praise to the Lord. That's what the book of Psalms is all about, praising the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father in heaven. And if we're going to learn how to, also the word praise, the word hallelujah, and the word bless, we're going to look at the word bless here in a moment, means to bow down, to worship, to fall down before God in adoration and praise and recognition of who He is. And that's what the book of Psalms is all about, praising Him. And so if we're going to learn to do that, if we're going to learn to worship God in spirit and in truth, we've got to invest some time in this book of worship and praise. We've got to take time to look at the Psalms. Merle, what was Merle's last name? The singing, can't think of Merle, they were here as all these children, and they're also musically talented, and they're up at Camp Tehiglo every year for a week of camp. Anyway, when the father, he's with the Lord now, but when he spoke here on a Sunday morning a number of years ago, he said, I remember him saying, "I read a psalm every day to stay sweet and a proverb to stay wise." That's a good practice, isn't it? Read a psalm every day to stay sweet. It'll keep your attitude focused on praising the Lord. Because we see in the psalm book, the song book of the Bible, all the hymns of praise written by the Holy Spirit Himself. And so, Psalm 103 is a psalm of praise to God that begins deep within the soul. It searches the heart. It knows the mind. It understands the relationship that we have with God. It expresses that relationship. Psalm 103 is one of those Hallel songs that get you through those times of disaster and difficulty and distress. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. There's plenty of mercy with the Lord. Have you messed up? Have you sinned? Have you gone astray? Is there a need for repentance in your heart right now? Is there a need of confession? God is a God of mercy. The songs of the Scripture continuously remind us that God is merciful. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is inexhaustible. God is a God of mercy. He is plenteous in mercy. There's plenty of mercy. I've come to the Lord. You might say, "Lord, I've been here a million times with this same transgression, this same fault of mine. I wish I could conquer this. I wish the Holy Spirit would give me victory over this particular thing in my life." But your mercy is just as fresh today as it was 50 years ago when I started struggling with this issue. And so the mercy of the Lord is plentiful. It says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins," or according to our sins. God doesn't look at us and say, "Look, you've been sinning now for 60 67, almost 68 years, I'm tired of it. And I'm not putting up with it anymore. And I'm just finished with you. You know, what does the Bible say? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. My translation of that verse is, it's because of the Lord's mercy that He doesn't just stomp us out like a bug on the floor. Because think about it. What are we in the sight of the Almighty God of the universe? We're a pretty small speck of dust, are we not? But He loves you. He cares for you. He forgives you an unlimited number of times. He tells us to forgive each other an unlimited number of times. Why? Because we are to imitate His mercy. His mercy. It says, He does not reward us according to our iniquities. You know, when your children were growing up and they were misbehaving and they wouldn't listen to correction, what do? You start taking away rewards, right? If you don't behave yourself, you know, there's not going to be any snack after dinner tonight. God doesn't do that. He doesn't take away anything because of our sin. He just shows us how loving and kind and generous and forgiving He is. We were watching a show the other couple of weeks ago. It impressed me so much. It was one of those Amish shows where I can't remember the details, but I think there was a child that was brought into the home from the outside, maybe an orphan or something, but he came into the home and he was always misbehaving. He was a child of the world, you know. He was accustomed to getting his own way and doing his own thing and stealing and lying and all kinds of things. And the headmaster of the home one time caught him in the act of doing something. I don't remember the details, but you're expecting him to administer punishment to this child. And what does he do? He had been in the home just long enough to grow fond of the house, we'll call them house parents or whatever their title was. And he respected them to a degree, and he already understood they were very kind and generous people. But when the boy misbehaved, the headmaster or the father of the home took a ruler, and you figure, you know, what was coming next, he's gonna strike this child somewhere. And he hands the ruler to the child, and he talks to the child, and he explains what he was caught in the act of, and what he was guilty of, and what he had done wrong. And he says, "Now you're going to administer to me the punishment that is due you." Think about that. You're going to give me the number of strikes that you deserve. He didn't tell him how many. The boy was to determine. Of course, the boy withdrew. I can't do that. I mean, he was in tears. You know, I can't hit you. You didn't do anything wrong. I'm the one who's done wrong. He made that boy give him, and he kept saying, "More, more." And the man was almost in tears. You could see it was physically hurting him. Think about that. That's how God shows us His love. That's exactly what God did. He took our punishment and put it all on His Son. With His stripes, we are healed. He took our chastisement upon Himself when He died on the cross. So God doesn't have to punish us. He doesn't have to reward or withhold reward from us because of our iniquities. Our iniquities are already paid for. Our sins are already covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. When our children do things that we know they shouldn't do and they know they shouldn't do, we're awfully disappointed. We're hurt as parents. Are you not as well? I know you are. It hurts us when we see our children going astray and doing things that we know we didn't teach them that way. We didn't bring them up and we didn't train them that way, but they did that, and it hurts us. We pity them for going in that direction because we know that it's going to hurt them eventually. We talked about Jabez recently on Wednesday night, Jabez prayer. And Lord, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me, he said. He prayed. Sin will always bring grief. Sin will always grieve you. Be sure your sin will find you out. And the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples, keep us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Why? Because he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We are just human beings, created in his image, but we are sinful by nature. We are fallen by nature. We are under the curse. We'll talk more about that next Sunday night. When that curse is going to be lifted, we're going to be rejoicing. Amen. When the Lord comes back to this earth. Do you remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? The Bible says around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. The next thing they knew, a great earthquake came. And Acts 16:26 says, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. God was responding to their prayer and their praise. Let me tell you, prison doors shake open when there's prayer and praise. We live in a world of negativity. Everything is negative. Things are going bad. We turn off the news. We turn on the news. And when we turn on the news, we hear story after story after story of murder, abuse, financial collapse, corruption, violence, hatred, gang wars, rape, suicide, and the list just goes on and on. That's the world we live in. That's the nature of human beings. That's the fallenness of our society. That's the curse that is on the earth because of sin. We live in a world where everything is bad and negative. Not everything is bad, but there's so much negativity. You'll never hear a news reporter come on the air and say, well, folks, all the news tonight is good news. We don't have anything bad. Nothing bad happened today, so I'm just going to have to tell you about lots and lots of wonderful things that took place. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen because right now Satan is the prince of this world. But one day, when Jesus reigns, there will be good news. Amen? Amen. There will be good news to report. So beginning in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 103. Verses 1 and 2. Let me read those again as we get started here this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to focus for a few minutes just on the blessing part. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's a call to thanksgiving. That's a command. God is calling us to give thanks to his holy name, to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word bless is a command. There are three specific commands here in these two verses. We're to bless the Lord, we're to bless his holy name, and we're to forget not his benefits. The word bless here, this Hebrew word for bless, means to praise, to give thanks, to show adoration, to exalt, to lift up on high. When we see in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf also shall not wither. That blessing on the man of God who is putting God ahead of everything else in the world, he is lifted up. He is filled with praise and joy and gratitude. He is exalted above the world and above his enemies. That's what we're doing when we bless the Lord. We're lifting Him up above everything that's worldly, everything that's negative, everything that's corrupted by sin. We're saying, Thou art holy. You're way up here, God. You're on high, the Lord God on high. I want to bless Your name. And why the New Testament says that we should lift our hands in praise to God. It's a picture of someone who is kneeling down. It has the idea in the New Testament, the word bless, it comes from the word which we get our word worship from, and it means to fall prostrate before or to kneel down before Him, before God, but still lifting up our hands to heaven to glorify Him, to give thanks and praise to Him, and offer praise to God. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look over to Psalm 104, just across the page, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. So how about praising Him for His glory? Praising Him for His majesty. How about praising Him for His goodness? God is good, amen? All the time, all the time. God is good. How about praising Him for His goodness? Go over to Psalm 106, verse 1. I said these are the Hallel Psalms, the praise Psalms. The first verse of many of these Psalms is a command to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is what? Good. And as has already been stated, His mercy endureth forever. God is good. We should praise Him for His goodness. Do you remember when we studied Romans and we got to chapter 2 and verse 4? One of my favorite verses, because the director of the mission board I worked for 10 years, this was his verse. This was his life verse. Romans 2, 4 says, the goodness of God leads to repentance. It says, the whole verse says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? And he used to preach it. He says, people look at God and they see an angry God, a God of vengeance, a God of wrath. But we should also, not that we shouldn't, show that side of the coin and let people know that He is a holy and righteous God, and He does not tolerate sin, but He is also a God who is full of mercy, full of compassion, like a father who pitieth his children, a God full of goodness, wanting and desiring to give good things to us. And when you see the goodness of God and just how good God is, when we studied Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about all the spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ that we are blessed with. That's the goodness of God giving us more blessings than we can even begin to count. The songwriter says, count your many blessings, but that's not possible for the Christian because they're almost unending. And if you are a sinner and you are down in the gutter, and you are far, far away from where you should be spiritually, and you're out of a right relationship with God, and your eyes get a glimpse of how good He is, how holy and righteous, and just how much He wants to lift you up and bless you and take you out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to say, stay. That visual, that understanding of His goodness will lead you to say, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me for my waywardness. Forgive me for my sin. You're so good to me. I don't deserve Your blessings, but You just keep pouring them out, and I keep receiving them. God is so good. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy are found together throughout the Bible. Look at Psalm 118. Flip over a few more pages. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. His mercy goes together hand in hand with His goodness. Do you remember the definition of mercy? The mercy of God, that is His kindness that is shown toward us by giving to us, or excuse me, by withholding from us the things which we deserve. Let me say that again. The mercy of God is His kindness that is shown by Himself by withholding from us the things which we deserve. I'm a sinner. I was born that way. What do I deserve? I deserve hell. I deserve eternal separation from God. I deserve His wrath. I deserve punishment. But He withholds those things from me. When I respond to His love, when I respond to His grace, and when I say, "Forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. Help me, God." He shows mercy. He doesn't give us condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He withholds that. That's mercy. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. The punishment for sin, the retribution, the condemnation, the eternal separation from God. Let's praise Him for that. Let's praise Him for His mercy and His goodness. Let's praise Him for His truth. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, the truth of God. Do you realize if there were no truth in the world, we would all perish? What is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without truth, there would be no Savior. Without truth, there would be no Jesus Christ. Without truth, there would be no salvation. I am the truth, the great I am, Jehovah God. I am truth. And so, praise Him for His truth. Oh, praise the Lord for Him, for His merciful kindness and the truth of the Lord, which endures forever. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The things that God has told His people about Himself, that's truth. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Or hath He said, and shall He not? I get that all messed up. But God does not lie. God does not lie. He is truth. Thanksgiving calls us to give thanks for His truth. Earlier we read from Psalm 100 verse 4. In the call to worship, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Verse 5 continues, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. God has not run out of truth. The world's running short on it, but God does not run out of truth. Praise Him for His greatness, His goodness, His mercy, and His truth. Thanksgiving, I love that time of the year. We should be thankful. We'll talk about this Wednesday night, undoubtedly. We talk about it every year at Thanksgiving. We should be thankful, not just at Thanksgiving time, not just in November, not just on Thanksgiving Day. We should be thankful 365 days a year. But Thanksgiving time calls us to a remembrance of that truth, that we should be thankful, that we are commanded in the Scripture to bless His holy name, to praise Him, to exalt Him. The atheist, he doesn't thank God. Why not? He doesn't believe there is a God. There's no thanksgiving in the heart of an atheist. A man doesn't give thanks to a God he doesn't believe exists. There's no such thing as a thankful atheist. The trouble with being an atheist is you don't have anybody to talk to when you're alone. Nobody to thank for what they've done for you. How frustrating for an atheist when he feels thankful, but he doesn't have anyone to thank. Or the agnostic who doesn't thank God because he denies that God probably exists. He doesn't think that you can, he's very skeptical. Does God exist or does he not? Nobody can prove that. That's what an agnostic says. That kind of man doesn't give thanks to God because he's not sure that he does exist. But it's from the thankful heart that we give praise and honor and glory to God. From a thankless heart, a heart that's unthankful, comes discontent and greed and lust, materialism, humanism. Therefore, bless the Lord, bless His holy name, is a sign of spiritual relationship with God. Listen to this very sad verse. Isaiah the prophet writes in Isaiah 29:13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people," talking about the nation of Israel, "draw near me with their mouth," you know, lip service, "and their lips, with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me." Their heart. "Their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. Giving thanks and praise to God is far from the mind of an unthankful person." And the Bible says, Paul says, in the last days when perilous times shall come, and they are here, folks, people will be unthankful. Unthankful, ungrateful. Again, is there one iota, one speck of unthankfulness in your heart or mine? Let's let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts this morning so that we can obey the call to thanksgiving, given by no other than the author of the Scripture itself. The call to thanksgiving, Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Secondly, let's talk for a moment about the cause of thanksgiving. In verse 2 of Psalm 103, it also says, "And forget not all His benefits." Forget not all His benefits. Don't forget what God is doing in your life. The word benefits means His work. The things God is doing, His blessings that He pours out upon you that you often take for granted. Verses 3 through 19 enumerate many of His benefits. Let's go back. I know we read this, but it's been several minutes ago now. Let's just review some of the things, not all, but some of the things that are benefits that we're to be thankful for. We're not to forget His benefits. Well, first of all, in verse 3, "He forgiveth all thine iniquities." Not some of them, not a few of them, not most of them. "He forgiveth all your sins. He healeth all your diseases." We're talking spiritual there. The things that disease your heart. The things that cause dysfunction between you and God. The things that break relationships between you and Him. "Thank God who redeemeth your life from destruction." Again, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God has redeemed us. He has bought us out of the slave market of sin. He has lifted our feet out of the miry clay and set us on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. "He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Crowning with loving kindness has the idea he has called us His children. He has brought us into His very family. He has adopted us, spiritual adoption. He has made us part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in the Spirit, cleansed by the blood. Being crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, withholding from us the things that we deserve. "He satisfieth thy mouth with good things." Excuse me. That can mean so many different things. It could be talking about physically. God has given us a platter of food. You ever stop and think about the different varieties of food that God has given us to enjoy on this earth? You know, he could have given us manna, period. You know, your daily diet for the rest of your days will be manna and water. But instead, what do? We go to our favorite restaurant and we're handed a menu that's got 16 pages. You know, oh my goodness, I don't know what I want. There's just so much to choose from. God is so good. God has satisfied our mouth with good things. But it can also mean spiritual things. We can never run out of things to say about what God has done for us. We can never get tired of giving praise to His name, of thanking Him for all He has done. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Brother Zach's experiencing that right now as I did, and still, I'm still getting my strength back. There are days that I just don't have it yet. But I realize that every ounce of strength I do have comes from God. If it was not for His mercy, I wouldn't be here today. He executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Could you imagine if there was no law at all in this world? If there was no justice, it would be a horrible place to live. We could go on talking about the blessings. Bless the Lord. And don't forget His benefits. All the things that God has done, His work, all the things that God continues to do, His benefits. Have you counted your blessings lately? We sang the song. Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote such a practical song. When upon life's billows, you know, not when the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming and the sky is blue and everything is just perfect, but when upon life's billows, when you're on the troubled waters, when you're in the middle of the storm, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, none of you ever get discouraged, but some of us do. When you're discouraged, thinking all is lost. Isn't that odd? When you're in the middle of the storm and when you're discouraged, what does He say to do? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will what? It'll surprise you what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? We all are we not? We wouldn't be human if we didn't have loads of care on our shoulders. Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? It sure does. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. You will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. You may not be able to remember all His benefits, but don't forget them. You get the gist there? You may not be able to count them one by one and put them all down on a piece of paper, but don't forget that from day one of your salvation, from day one of your relationship with Jesus Christ, God has been loading you up with benefits. Don't forget that. In verse 3, He forgives all your iniquities, all your sins, your guilt, your miseries. That word forgives means to pardon. Thank Him for your pardon. Sin brings guilt, misery, and shame into your life. God brings mercy and grace and pardon. And notice that God forgives, again, all your iniquities, not just some of them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen carefully to these two words in closing. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, the apostle says, "And you," talking to all the believers there in Colossae, "you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh." In other words, don't forget that before you were saved, God did something for you. While you were still sinners, He has quickened you. He has brought you back to life. He has given you new life. Together with Christ, He hath quickened you together with Christ, having forgiven you all your trespasses, all your sins, all the times where you crossed the boundary, where you went too far, blotting out all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, all the laws of God that you broke in your life. God has blotted those out. They don't exist anymore. Sin? Darrell Gentry, sin? There's nothing on my record, God says. When I look at his record, all I see is justification. All I see is what Jesus did. There's no hint of what Darrell did. It's what Jesus did. It's all on top, written on top. It's like, you know, it's like one of those recording devices that's erasing everything that was on it as it records over it. Jesus recorded over your iniquities, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. Where is your sin now? Well, I don't know what happened to the cross of Calvary, but I dare say it's not there anymore. It's gone, just as your sins are. Have you thanked God today, or this week, or this year? Have you thanked God that your sins are remembered no more? That they're as far as the east is from the west? Have you thanked God for that? Psalm 5 in this praise and hymn book of the Bible says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Thou will compass him as with a shield." The only people who truly have a cause for thanksgiving are those who have put their trust in the Lord. The Lord will bless the righteous, it says. Remember, righteous means those who have been justified, those who have been forgiven of all their sins, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wanted to use that as a closing hymn today, but it's not in our hymn book. But Mary Ann Kidder wrote a beautiful hymn. I'd just like to share the words in closing. "Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, that my name's written there. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, thy blood is sufficient for me. For thy promise it is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as snow. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching. Yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name is written there. What about you today? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you accepted Him? The Bible says in Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Father in heaven, in the preparation and even now in the delivery of this message, you have convicted me, Lord, of areas that you, your Holy Spirit, has pointed out. I never would have dreamed, I never would have known that there is unthankfulness in my heart had you not pointed it out to me. And I admit, Lord, that I have some confession. I have done some confession. And now I need to turn that confession to repentance. And I pray that each and every one of us would allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and say, "Dear God, in this world that I live in, it is so easy to look at the negative. It is so easy to look at all the bad things. It is so easy to start complaining and to be critical. It is so easy to start blaming people for things that are happening. And we forget all of our benefits. We forget to name our many blessings. Count them one by one so that we can see what God has done. Forget not all thy benefits," the psalmist said. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful today that we're getting close to the end of this journey. I'm thankful today that the signs point to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I just say, Lord, help us to hang on to the very end. Help us to finish well. And if there's anyone here today who needs to say, "Dear God, save me. For Jesus' sake, forgive me of my sins and save me, God. Give me the gift of eternal life. How can I escape if I neglect so great a salvation?" There is no escape for the sinner. Dear God, save those who would call upon you even now during this invitation time. And may they have the boldness, the courage to come and say, "Pastor, I've received Jesus today. Oh, pray for me, Pastor. I'm now a child of the King." And we ask these blessings in the name of our glorious and wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.